chapter 18 and verse 1. In those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in. For until that day, their whole inheritance among the tribes of Israel had not yet fallen to them. So the children of Dan sent 5 men of their family from their territory, men of valor from Zorah and Eshtaol, to spy out the land and search it. They said to them, "Go search the land." So they went to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and lodged there. While they were at the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. They turned aside and said to him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What do you have here?" He said to them, "Thus and so Micah did for me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest." So they said to him, "Please inquire of God, that we may know whether the journey on which we go will be prosperous." And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. May the presence of the Lord be with you on your way." So the 5 men departed and went to Laish. They saw the people who were there, how they dwelt safely in the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. There were no rulers in the land who might put them to shame for anything. They were far from the Sidonians, and they had no ties with anyone. And the spies came back to their brethren at Zorah and Eshtaol, and their brethren said to them, "What is your report?" So they said, "Arise, let us go up against them. For we have seen the land, and indeed it is very good. Would you do nothing? Do not hesitate to go, that you may enter to possess the land. When you go, you will come to a secure people and a large land, for God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth." And 600 men of the family of the Danites went from there, from Zorah and Eshtaol, armed with weapons of war. And they went up and encamped in Kirjath Jearim in Judah. Therefore, they call that place Mahane Dan to this day. There it is, west of Kirjath Jearim. And they passed from there to the mountains of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. Then the 5 men who had gone to spy out the country of Laish answered and said to their brethren, "Do you know that there are in these houses an ephod? Household idols, a carved image, and a molded image? Now therefore consider what you should do." So they turned aside there and came to the house of the young Levite man, that is, to the house of Micah, and greeted him. The 600 armed with their weapons of war, who were with the children of Dan, stood by the entrance of the gate. Then the 5 men who had gone to spy out the land went up, and entering there, they took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image. The priest stood at the entrance of the gate with the 600 men who were armed with weapons of war. When these went into Micah's house and took the graven image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" And they said to him, "Be quiet, put your hand over your mouth, and come with us. Be a father and a priest to us. Is it better for you to be a priest to the household of one man, or that you be a priest to a tribe and a family in Israel?" So the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod, the household idols, and the carved image, and took his place among the people. Then they turned and departed, and put the little ones, the livestock, and the goods in front of them. When they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house gathered together and overtook the children of Dan, and they called out to the children of Dan. So they turned around and said to Micah, "What ails you that you have gathered such a company?" And he said, "You have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priest, and you have gone away. Now what more do I have? How can you say to me, 'What ails you?'" And the children of Dan said to him, "Do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry men fall upon you and you lose your life or the lives of your household." Then the children of Dan went their way. And when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. So they took the things Micah had made and the priest who had belonged to him and went to Laish, to a people who were quiet and secure. And they struck them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire. There was no deliverer because it was far from Sidon and they had no ties with anyone. It was in the valley that belongs to Beth Rehob, and they rebuilt the city and dwelt there. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born to Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Laish. Then the children of Dan set up for themselves the carved image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Moses, and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. So they set up for themselves Micah's carved image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, beloved of our Lord Jesus Christ, Dr. Benjamin Jowett, scholar and wit from Oxford, was once asked, "Dr. Jowett, would you tell us your opinion of God?" "Madame," he replied, "I should think it a great impertinence were I to express my opinion about God. The only anxiety of my life is to know God's opinion of me. The only anxiety of my life is to know God's opinion of me." How many people today have no concern whatsoever about what God thinks of them? They live from one day to the next, according to their own rules, fulfilling their own desires, pursuing their own ambitions, and striving to fulfill their own dreams. Millions of people wake up each morning with no thought of God or His will at all. They drink their morning coffee, head off to work, accomplish the duties of that day, come home, fill the evening with an assortment of things, and then turn in for the night without ever asking, "What is God's opinion of me, and what is God's desire for my life?" As Christians, we do many of the same things as non-Christians. We sleep, we eat, we work, we marry, we have children, we raise families, we buy, we sell, we travel, we build, we converse, we joke, we celebrate, we play musical instruments, we sing. We do many of the same things that our non-Christian neighbors do. The difference, however, between the Christian and the non-Christian is that everything that the Christian does must be according to the book. The Bible is both informational and transformational. It gives us the information that we need to know the will of God, and through its pages, the Spirit of God brings about transformation in our lives. The Bible is both informational and transformational. It provides direction for our life so that our lives may bring glory to Him. Congregation, as Christians, we are grieved when we see unbelievers who have no regard for the Word of God and do not regulate their lives according to Scripture. We are saddened because we know that God is not honored and those who ignore His Word are not fulfilled. But it is much more grievous still when church members ignore God's Word and fail to regulate their lives according to it. We can expect non-Christians to ignore God's will, but those who are in covenant with God need to be serious about studying, learning, applying, and obeying God's word. In our chapter for this morning, we see that one of the tribes in Israel is showing signs of sad spiritual decline. The tribe of Dan is not focused on the will of God. And their life is not regulated by God's revelation. They have become morally and spiritually wayward. From Judges chapter 18, I draw your attention to three things. The failure of the Danite conquest, number one. The mission of the Danite spies, number two. And the worship of the Danite community, number three. The failure of the Danite conquest, the mission of the Danite spies, and the worship of the Danite community. Judges chapter 18 begins with those words that are associated with spiritual decline in the book of Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel. If you've read the book of Judges, you know the line that accompanies that statement. What is it? In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. We find that statement in verse 6 of the previous chapter. And now at the beginning of chapter 18, the writer of Judges allows us to fill it in for ourselves. The conduct of the Danites in the rest of the chapter indicates that their chief concern was not doing what was right in the eyes of God, but rather they simply did what was right in their own eyes. We learn from verse 1 that the tribe of Dan did not yet have a place to call home. The events recorded in this chapter took place shortly after the death of Joshua, and therefore you would assume that they had received their inheritance. But verse 1 says that the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in. Now, why were they seeking an inheritance? Was the tribe of Dan omitted when Joshua divided up the land? Not at all. Joshua chapter 19 tells us that their assigned portion was between Ephraim and Judah, stretching out to the Mediterranean. It was a very rich area. Well, why then was the tribe of Dan still looking for a place to call home? Because the Danites had refused to trust the Lord, and consequently they never completely drove out the Amorites. We learn from Judges chapter 1, verse 34, that because they failed to drive out the Amorites, what happened? The Amorites forced them into the mountains. The Danites were forced out of the rich valleys and into the hill country. In the opening words of chapter 18, the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance because of their unfaithfulness. Through faith in the Lord, they could have easily driven out the Amorites and enjoyed peace in the inheritance that God had given them. But instead of repenting of their unbelief and trusting God to keep His word, they decided to look for a different area in which to settle. They looked for a place where the inhabitants of the land were unprepared and vulnerable to attack. God had called them to war with the Amorites. But the Danites chose not to obey. Instead of doing things God's way, with God's help and receiving God's blessing, they chose to do what was right in their own eyes. Why fight the Amorites, who are mightier than we are? Why fight a superior force? Why put ourselves in danger? Brothers and sisters, the Danites had fallen into the same sin as the Israelites in the wilderness when they listened to the faithless spies and refused to enter the promised land. You remember, boys and girls, that story? You remember how Moses sent out the 12 spies into the land of Canaan? After 40 days, the spies returned to Moses in the wilderness and gave a wonderful report about the wealth of the land. However, 10 of the spies went on to say that the land was strong and the cities fortified. Moreover, there were giants in the land, the descendants of Anak. The 10 spies said, "We can't go up there. They're stronger than we are." The 10 unfaithful spies said, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." The 10 faithless spies discouraged the Israelites so that the people wept and murmured against Moses. Joshua and Caleb, who were the 2 faithful spies, said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the people would not listen. As a result, the Israelites could not enter the land. They spent 40 years in the wilderness. All those who had been 20 years old and above fell in the wilderness, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. And the 10 spies who brought the evil report died by the plague before the Lord. Congregation, the Danites had become just like those unfaithful Israelites who perished in the wilderness. They were not trusting the promises of God. They were not living by faith. The Amorites who possessed their inheritance seemed to be bigger and mightier than Israel's God. The Danites had forgotten the saving power of the Lord. They were not living a God-centered life. Brothers and sisters, how important it is that we live by faith in the omnipotent, all-powerful Lord of heaven and earth. He needs to be at the center of our thoughts and lives. We need to have a God-centered perspective for all of life. We need to trust that He is on the throne and that He is always faithful to His promises. Whatever situation you may find yourself in, remember the sovereignty of your God. Commit your ways to Him and do not doubt His promises to you in Christ Jesus. When we live by sight rather than by faith, we fail to enjoy communion with God and we fail to enjoy the blessings that He has promised to His people. So that's point number one, the failure of the Danite conquest. Secondly, the writer of Judges goes on to describe the mission of the Danite spies. The mission of the Danite spies, verse 2. Instead of confessing their sin of unbelief and appealing to the Lord for help, the children of Dan sent out 5 men to spy out the land to see if they could find a suitable place for the Danites to settle. On their journey, the spies stopped at the home of Micah. And while they were there, they recognized the voice of the young Levite whom Micah had appointed as his household priest. The Danite spies asked him what he was doing there and what his position was. And when he told them that he was Micah's priest, they asked him to inquire of the Lord, verse 5, that we may know whether the journey on which we go will be prosperous. Isn't that an interesting congregation? The very last verse of this chapter tells us that the house of God was in Shiloh. At this time in Israel's history, the tabernacle of the Lord was in Shiloh. Shiloh was in the hill country of Ephraim. It could not have been very far from the home of Micah. The 5 Danite spies could have gone to Shiloh if they wanted to inquire of the Lord. They could have sought the counsel of a lawful priest of God, but they chose not to do that. They thought Micah's shrine was pretty neat, and they were quite impressed with Jonathan, Micah's consecrated priest. Congregation, why did they not go to Shiloh to seek the will of God? Because they already knew the will of God. They already knew the will of God. They knew what the living God wanted of them. Their inheritance was spelled out in Joshua chapter 19. The spies sought the counsel of Jonathan, Micah's priest, not that they might know the will of God, but that they might escape the will of God. They wanted a religious man to give them the green light to do what they were planning to do. If he endorsed their plan, then it must be okay. And that is exactly what he did. Look at verse 6. Verse 6. And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. May the presence of the Lord be with you on your way." Well, that's fantastic, isn't it? They got it precisely what they wanted. Micah's priest Jonathan told them that exactly what they wanted to hear. They were on the right track and God was going to grant them success. But brothers and sisters, the reader is left to wonder if Jonathan even bothered to consult the Lord at all. Did he seek the will of God in this matter, or did he simply utter some pious sounding words, words that they wanted to hear? Jonathan supposedly gave them a message from Yahweh, but would Yahweh sanction this faithless mission? And did Jonathan have access to the mind of God? Jonathan was not a lawfully ordained priest, and he was not serving at the lawfully appointed place of worship. He was also condoning and approving the idolatry of Micah. We saw from the previous chapter that Jonathan was nothing more than an opportunist. He used religion as a means of personal gain, and it was not his goal to faithfully proclaim the whole counsel of God. But this was just the kind of man that the Danites wanted. This was an agreeable priest. This was a man who spoke approvingly of their plans. This was a man who made them feel good about themselves. This is the kind of man that some churches today would love to have as their pastor. He doesn't speak of sin. He doesn't confront them with God's word. He doesn't express anything negative. He doesn't challenge them. He doesn't prick their conscience. He speaks nice words, words that the listener wants to hear. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul warned Timothy that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, will heap up teachers for themselves. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Paul said that there will be those in the church who don't want sound doctrine, who don't want biblical preaching. They won't tolerate it. They want to have their ears tickled with unbiblical notions that raise their comfort level. They want doctrine that justifies or overlooks their sin. There are many such preachers today who tickle the ears of their members with a message of positive thinking, self-esteem, and easy believism. One author said this: they come to have their egos fed and their sins approved, not to have their hearts cleansed and their souls saved. They want only to feel good, not to be made good. Tragically, such myths serve to religiously insulate people from the true gospel and drive them still further from the Lord. End quote. What the Danites did is all too common in our own day. Get a religious teacher to approve your plans and your lifestyle, and it makes you feel much better. Get a religious teacher to justify your actions so that you don't have to repent. If the pastor speaks only nice words from the pulpit and nice words in pastoral visitation, then you can go home feeling warm and comfortable. Then you don't have to face the reality of your sin. The congregation, such teaching does not direct us to our need of Christ, and therefore it is soul destroying. Such teaching does not call for biblical change, therefore it does not bring glory to God. It only hardens people in their sin as they hear, "You're okay, I'm okay, go in peace, and may but the presence of the Lord be with you on your way." If you put yourself under such preaching and teaching, it will undoubtedly harm your spiritual life. So the Danites, having received the green light from Micah's priest, went on their way, spied out the city of Laish, a quiet area populated by some Phoenicians who were isolated from any allies. And then they returned to their brethren with a positive report. "Arise, let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and indeed it is very good." And notice what they said in verse 10. "When you go, you will come to a secure, unsuspecting people and a large land, for God has given it into your hands." You hear those words? God has given it into your hands. Through the reassuring words of Jonathan, Micah's priest, they were convinced that God was with them, even though they were disobeying God's will with respect to their God-given inheritance. The false priest from the house of Micah only supported the tribe of Dan in their disobedience. He did not expose their sin, neither did he proclaim God's way of forgiveness through the atoning sacrifice. He only drove them further from the Lord. And so we come to point number 3, the worship of the Danite community. The worship of the Danite community. After the spies encouraged their brethren to go up, 600 men responded, armed themselves, and began their journey. When they came to the mountains of Ephraim, they stopped at the house of Micah. The five spies entered Micah's shrine, and verse 17 says, they took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image. Now, congregation, according to Deuteronomy 13, both Micah and his priests should have been what? Stoned to death for their idolatrous ways. Deuteronomy 13 says of such people, you shall surely kill him, you shall stone him with stones until he dies, so all Israel shall hear and fear. Micah and Jonathan deserve to die. If the 600 men of Dan came up to the home of Micah, stoned them to death, and burned the shrine, they would have done the right thing. But instead of destroying the shrine and its images, the Danites cleaned out the shrine and took the image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image with them. Brothers and sisters, the cancer in the home of Micah now became a cancer in the tribe of Dan. In the previous chapter, Micah and his mother disobeyed the law of God by making images and setting up a shrine. When the Danite spies came to their door, they should have been shocked and appalled by their disregard for the law of the Lord. The Danites should have been outraged. But sadly, that was not the case. Instead of expressing righteous indignation at the disobedience of Micah's family, they were impressed with Micah's holy paraphernalia. They not only stole Micah's idols, but they also offered Micah's priest a position in their community. As they were stealing the idols, Micah's priest, Jonathan, said, "What are you doing?" Verse 18, "What are you doing?" They responded saying, "Be quiet and come with us. Be a father and a priest to us. Is it better for you to be a priest to the household of one man, or that you be a priest to a tribe and a family in Israel?" The Danites offered Jonathan a promotion. They made him an offer that he couldn't refuse. They offered a greater potential for ministry, where he would receive greater recognition and greater honor. They offered him the status of Pope to the entire tribe of Dan. Being an opportunistic man, he was happy to accept the offer. Verse 20 says, his heart was glad, and he took his place among the people. Congregation, Jonathan is an extreme example of self-promoting service. He enjoys climbing the ladder of promotion. He enjoys prominence, attention, and praise. This is not a man who serves the Lord from the heart. This is a man who serves himself. He not only abandoned his employer who had consecrated him to the priesthood, but far more seriously, he had forsaken the commitment that he should have had to the God of Israel. In the conduct of Jonathan, we see steady decline. First, he became the priest of an apostate family. Now he became the priest of an apostate tribe. First, he led a family in idolatrous worship. Now he was willing to lead an entire tribe in idolatrous worship. Instead of using the gifts that God had given him to direct the family of Micah and the tribe of Dan to the law and the gospel, instead of directing them to the messianic promises that would be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, instead of challenging them to greater love and greater obedience, instead of calling them back to pure worship regulated by the Word of God, Jonathan went along with the idolatry for the sake of personal promotion and self-aggrandizement. In our study of chapter 17, I mentioned to you that Jonathan was Moses' grandson or Moses' descendant. He could be a grandson or a great-grandson. Congregation, if Moses had known that his descendant would have been an apostate Levite and a corrupt priest, he would have been devastated. For those who are committed to the Lord, there is nothing more painful than to see your children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren forsaking the truth of God. There is nothing more heartbreaking than to see your descendants turning away from the law and the gospel. By the mercy of God, Moses was no longer around to witness this tragic decline in his grandson and in the nation that he had led through the wilderness. Congregation, how we need to labor and pray for the spiritual well-being of our descendants. How we need to seek the blessing of God upon our children's children's children. Pray that the Lord will keep them true to His word and that they will value the gospel of Christ above all else. Pray that your descendants will be filled with a passion for the glory of God. And pray that He will raise up leaders who will proclaim and uphold the law and the gospel long after you have departed. Let us have a long-term vision for the glory of God and the purity of His church. So Jonathan accepted the offer of the Danites with gladness and went along with them. After they had traveled a good distance from Micah's house, Micah, along with a group of Micah's neighbors, overtook the Danites and began to protest. They began to protest the fact that they had stolen his idols and his priests. In verse 24, Micah said, "You have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priest, and you have gone away. Now what more do I have? How can you say what ails you?" In the previous chapter, Micah had stolen a rather large fortune from his mother. Now he has become the victim of the Danites, as the Danites robbed him and left him with an empty shrine. Congregation, Micah's protest is almost comical, were it not so tragic. As one theologian said, "A God who can be made is surely a contradiction in terms. And a God who cannot avoid being pilfered must be a non-God indeed. A God who can be made is surely a contradiction in terms. And a God who cannot avoid being pilfered must be a non-God indeed." Micah failed to see how ludicrous the whole affair was. He wanted his gods returned, and he wanted his priest returned. But the Danites were not about to comply. In verse 25, they said to him, "Do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry men fall upon you, and you lose your life with the lives of your household." You see what's going on here? They demanded that he remain silent and even threatened to murder him and his household if he persisted. The Danites proved themselves to be hard, uncaring, callous people who wanted a measure of religion. They wanted a measure of religion for their own security, but they wanted to be free from the law of God and the requirements of His covenants. The Danites took Micah's idols and his priest, assuming no doubt that they would bring success upon their endeavors. But in the process, they broke the second commandment forbidding carved images. They broke the eighth commandment forbidding theft. And they broke the sixth commandment as they threatened to murder Micah and his household. And brothers and sisters, through it all, the first commandment was set aside. "You shall have no other gods before me." What the writer of Judges is showing us is that the covenant people of God were corrupt at the family level, as seen in the family of Micah. They were corrupt at the leadership level, as seen in Jonathan the Levite. And they were corrupt at the tribal level, as seen in the Danites. What we see here is open and unashamed disobedience to the revealed will of God. Israel, the church, was not responding rightly to the love of God for His people. They were not responding rightly to their Savior. They were not awed by the greatness of Jehovah's covenant love. Congregation, if you are truly awed by the love of your Savior, Jesus Christ, then your desire will be to obey Him. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We are not saved by our obedience to the law, but our gratitude for salvation must be expressed through obedience to the law. We cannot say that we love and serve God when we neglect His revealed will. Studying Scripture is so vitally important because, as I said a few moments ago, the Bible is both informational and transformational. It informs us and it transforms us. We need to know God's Word so that our life and our worship may show our love for the One who laid down His life for us at Calvary's cross. Are you a careful student of Scripture? Are you serious about knowing and applying God's Word? Are you willing to examine your own family life in light of God's Word? Do you study principles of worship so that our church's corporate worship may be pleasing to the Lord? If we are not diligent, faithful, and careful students of Scripture, eager to be informed and transformed, then it will not be long before we are like Micah, Jonathan, and the Danites, who were dreadfully out of touch with the mind of God. Our homes will suffer, our children will suffer, our church will suffer, and our testimony before the world will be sadly compromised. Congregation, as we read this chapter, so full of spiritual confusion, we need to recognize that if we do not have Christ at the center of our lives, and if His Word is not precious to us, then we have the potential to live in the same spiritually confused state as Micah, Jonathan, and the Danites. We have churches throughout our nation today who once possessed the gospel of Christ, who once offered worship that was God-centered, that was Christ-centered, that was God-honoring. But today, the gospel is absent and the worship is man-centered and superficial. The Word is neglected. Do you think that this could never happen to us? Do you think that the folly of Micah, Jonathan, and the Danites could never be your folly? Do you think that the stupidity of Israel could never be your stupidity? Do you think that their false worship could never be your false worship? Do you think that their lack of commitment to the Lord could never be your lack of commitment to the Lord? You don't think you have the same potential within your heart? Brothers and sisters, we need to be much in the Word. And we need to encourage each other to live obedient lives in gratitude for the work of Jesus Christ. For if we neglect these things, we can very quickly become a spiritually confused and rebellious people who bring dishonor to our Savior. So the children of Dan now possessed a collection of images as well as a priest, the spiritual advisor who told them what they wanted to hear. They went on to Laish and struck them with the edge of the sword, verse 27, and burned the city with fire. However, the people of Laish are described in this chapter as a peaceful, helpless, undefended people. Verse 7 tells us that they were quiet and unsuspecting. They had no ties with anyone. And verse 27 says again that they were quiet and secure. Another translation says they were a peaceful and unsuspecting people. Now, brothers and sisters, it is true that when the Israelites first entered the Promised Land, they destroyed many cities and they smote the inhabitants. But in this situation, the Danites were not driven by any divine mandate whatsoever.
They slaughtered the inhabitants of Laish and torched the city solely because of their need for living space. The conquest of Laish was not divinely mandated, as the Danites did not go forth with the approval and the assistance of the Lord. Yes, they won the battle. Yes, they were successful. Yes, the words of Jonathan in verse 6 appear to be fulfilled. But the Danites had not done this with the approval of God. They slaughtered a peaceful, helpless, undefended people and settled in Laish. They renamed the conquered city Dan. And then they proceeded to establish the city as a center of worship. Look at verse 30. Then the children of Dan set up for themselves the carved image. And Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Moses, and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan. And then notice verse 31. So they set up for themselves Micah's carved image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. Do you see what the writer is highlighting in verse 31? He is telling us that the Danites established a center of worship that was not authorized by God, while they ignored the center of worship that was authorized by God. They set up Micah's carved image in their city as an alternative to the true worship of Yahweh. The worship that was established in the Danite community was of human design, and it stood as an apostate challenge to the true worship of the Lord, which was established at Shiloh. Congregation, the tribe of Dan has become much like the Canaanites. They were lacking true faith, and there was a great lack of genuine spiritual integrity. Their religious expression and ethical conduct was seriously flawed. There is not one admirable, God-fearing character in this entire chapter. As you read and ponder this chapter, may you hear the voice of God declaring to you, I want your heart. I want your life. I want your obedience. I want your mind. I want your love. And I want you to offer pure worship to me through the means that I have appointed. Don't pursue your own agenda. Don't assert your own will. Don't neglect my word. Listen to what I have written and obey. Brothers and sisters, how beautiful it is when God's people are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in His sacrifice for sin, rejecting all forms of worship that are not approved in Scripture, and yielding their lives to Christ's authority for the glory of our victorious Savior. Let me ask you, are you committed to Him? Are you faithful in your worship through Jesus Christ? Are you serious about learning His word, and are you striving to apply it with the help of the Spirit of God? May it be, congregation, that true worship would be offered by this church for generations to come. Worship of the one true God from the heart, informed by a true understanding of who He is and what He has done. And may each one of you look forward to that continuous, perfect worship of the Lord in the kingdom of heaven, where the angels, the elders, and thousands of thousands worship Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. May your worship now be a reflection of that heavenly worship. Let us pray.
Lord our God, you reveal such spiritual confusion to us in this period of the judges. Your people doing what was right in their own eyes and not seeking to do what is right in your eyes. Oh, Father, we ask that you will convict us and make us a people who long to do what is right in your eyes, that we may follow our King, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we are reminded over and over again in this book of how foolish your church can be and how quickly your people can depart from your truth. And Father, we pray that you will preserve us and our children's children and their children, oh Father, for the generations to come, that they might know you and love you and serve you in obedience to Scripture. Father, we pray that you will make each one here a faithful student of Scripture. Sometimes we are so lazy and we are so lax. We fill our time with so many other things that we fail to be faithful students of Scripture. And then, Lord, we have the potential of so quickly departing from your word and offering worship to you that is not pleasing in your sight, worship that is not authorized by Scripture. We pray that you will make us diligent. Help us, Lord, to use the opportunities that are available to us to grow in our knowledge of the word. And we pray that by the Spirit of God, you would give us hearts that long to apply your word. Hearts that are grateful for the work of our Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to have a Christ-centered focus and help us to live God-centered lives. We pray, Lord, that even now as we conclude this service, that our worship that we offer to you may be acceptable in your sight through Jesus Christ. If we need to be changed, then Father, change us, transform us. Help us to remember that your word is both informational and transformational. That it not only informs our mind, but it also, by the power of your Spirit, transforms our lives. May that be a reality for us in our homes, with our children, and with one another here in the Church of Jesus Christ. So bless our fellowship together, following the service as well. We ask it in the name of Christ, the one we love, the one who has redeemed us, the one we desire to worship. Amen. Let us sing together from number